Anybody need a worksheet that didn't get a worksheet that would like to have one? Just raise your hand. The guys will come by and give you one. Anybody need a worksheet? Just slip your hand up there. I'm really not sure, to be honest with you, how far I'm going to go into this, further in this passage, but I saw this one. I feel like I'm going to go until the Lord says no. And sometimes I'm not sure what we're going to do here. And it's amazing how it says, okay, this week this is what we're going to deal with. And it's right there on time, all the time. So we'll follow him for a little bit here. Genesis chapter 26. Now that's got several verses in there. And I'm going to, I don't have it up there. We're going to go as far as verse 25 and see how far we go here. Genesis, first book in the Bible, chapter 26, and verse number 1. And of course, we've been talking about the life of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, the child of promise. Isaac was the father of Jacob and Esau. And of course, Jacob was the one who became Israel. And God told Abraham, he said, I want you to get out and just trust me, and I'll take care of you day by day by day by day. And Abraham was willing to do it. So we're talking about living a life of faith. Once we get saved, once we know, you know, we all got to come to a point we realize we're sinners. You know, I mean, that's just a fact. You say, well, I didn't do anything too bad. The fact is, we aren't sinners because we do wrong. We do wrong because we're sinners. We're born with that inclination. That's who we are. But God doesn't want to lose any one of us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, how's that? Jesus Christ died and paid for all our sins, all of them, and even the ones we haven't committed yet. Why? Because if he doesn't pay for those, that keeps us out of heaven. So he paid for all of them. Now, in the meantime, once we become a new creation in Christ, and I mean that there really is something supernatural that occurs. And you start thinking a little differently. You start seeing things a little differently. Things that seem to make sense before don't make as much sense as they do now. I mean, they don't make as much sense now. Things that you thought didn't make sense, all of a sudden, kind of make sense. We got folks all over this room who probably thought there was a day in your life you thought, I'll never be in church on Sunday night. In fact, I'll never be in church on Sunday morning, much less going back on Sunday night, you know. And you thought that, but things change. And it's not because we browbeat you or put you in there, you know, try to push you in there. You realize you want to know the Word of God, and things change. Now, once we're saved, we still have a life to live. You know, I mean, we were saying all about heaven tonight. You would think that. I remember one time before my father was saved, I sang a song called "Goodbye World, Goodbye." I told all my troubles goodbye, goodbye to each tear and each sigh. This world that I know, if not be my home, I'm bound for the land in the sky. You know, we do that, and she had this little kind of little Dixieland clarinet thing she would do with it. We'd sing, and we have a good time. And actually, one day my dad says, I can't understand how you can sing that song. What do you mean how you can sing? It's like you want to go to heaven. It's like you want to die and go to heaven now. Like you're just already. Well, I'm already, but I don't want to go to the next load. But I'm already, and I'm going to be fine when the time comes. But I don't know about you. I mean, I had a lot of living I wanted to do yet, and that's fine. But it's awful nice when you have that all settled. Now, but until we go there, we have a life of faith to live, and that's what we've been doing, trying to teach those principles that Abraham has had it done. Now, we get to this point. Abraham has now, well, he was sent out at age 75. God called him out. They said, I'll make you a great nation. But he and Sarah had never had a baby, not one. He's 75 and she's 65. A little late start. And you think, well, okay, we're going to go out in the wilderness, and I guess God will go ahead and give us a baby. It's going to be a little late, but he'll give us a baby. Well, 25 years later, they still have no baby. And finally, God says, okay, this is it. In the next year, you're going to have a baby. Which is going to be 100 years old. He says, I know. He said, can that really happen? Absolutely, it can happen because God said so. You know, so it happened. So they have the child of promise, Isaac. Now Isaac grows up, and he's living around the house there and so forth. And he's 40 years old, and he doesn't have a wife. And I think Abraham goes, "Go get yourself a life. About time you move out and get a house." I don't know, but anyway, he sends his servant to go find Isaac a wife. And so they get married. He's 40 years old. Well, Rebecca's a pretty woman and so forth and so on, but she's having the same problem his mama had. And they're 20 years before they have a baby. And when they finally have a baby, she has two, Jacob and I and Esau. And we read about it last week. They're in there, when she's expecting, and they're in there having a fight. The twins inside her, they're struggling with each other, having a fight. And he said, well, you got two manner of people in there. And it's two nations, and they're going to struggle. One's going to serve the other one, and all this stuff. And she said, in fact, she kind of says, boy, I wanted to have a baby, but I'm not so sure anymore. So she has the two babies, Jacob and Esau. And we talked about they grew up, and Esau was the oldest. He came out first. He's the oldest, and he has the birthright. But he didn't care about the fact that God had promised Abraham to bless him and make him a mighty nation. He had promised Abraham to bless those that bless him, to curse those that curse him. That was handed down to Isaac. Now, Isaac was going to hand it down to Esau. But, you know, Esau, he really didn't care about it for some reason. He didn't care about having the blessing of God in his life. He thinks he's going to do just fine all by himself. He didn't need God in his life. And so he comes in. He's tired. He's hungry. And Jacob's in there making soup. And he says, you know what? I'm about ready to die of starvation here, which he wasn't. So give me some soup. He says, okay, I'll give you some soup, but you sell me your birthright. You sell me the blessing, so to speak. You sell me what God's going to give. I want what God's handing down. I want it. And he says, well, it's no good to me if I'm dead, so go ahead. So he eats a piece of bread and it's almost like he went to Olive Garden and had all you need soup and breadsticks. And then he gets up and he leaves, wipes his mouth, and he's done. But he had given away the blessings of God. He had given away the blessings of God. Now, that's where we are, and we're coming here now to chapter 26. Now, Isaac, their daddy, is still alive. And you're going to see some things that happened much like it did with Abraham. When Abraham was called out to go out away from his people to a land that God would show him, what's the first thing that was a trial in his life? Do you remember? There was a famine in the land. And he went down to Egypt. And they got themselves in trouble down there, and that's probably where they found Hagar, the Egyptian. It just was not a good thing. What should he have done? Well, God says, I'll take care of you in the land of promise. But he got scared and he went down there. Now, God didn't talk a whole lot about it, but he's going to hold Isaac a little more accountable, because Isaac should know. Look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 26. And there was a famine in the land. That means everything dried up. You don't have any food. You don't have any water hardly. You're barely going to survive. You're going to die. A lot of people, you know, that's the type of thing. There was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now you say, well, I thought Abimelech was the name of the king at the when Abraham was there. Abimelech is kind of like a title, kind of like a pharaoh. Okay? Nowadays they don't say the president, they call him POTUS. Have you seen that? POTUS? President of the United States. They call him POTUS. And so you could just say that this is the POTUS of the Philistines. This is Abimelech. That's his name. So they went to the king of the Philistines in Gerar. Verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I have given all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And that's what a father Abraham should have done. God says, I'll take care of you, I'll provide for you. And you can't die, because you've got to have a whole nation come out of you. But he got scared and went down to Egypt. Well, he's doing it again. He says, now don't do that. I've given you a promise. You can't die, because if you die, we're not going to have a nation. So just hang on. Verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She's my sister." For he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest, said he, "the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." Have you heard that before? Exactly what Abraham did. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time. Listen, they're not going to kill him to get his wife. God's not going to let that happen. But anyway, it came to pass that when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Now, by the way, guys, it's okay to flirt with your wife. It's okay to whistle at her. You probably don't want to do it in public, but it's okay to whistle at her. It's okay to enjoy your wife. She likes to know that you still like her. And so, as a good relationship should be, the king kind of looked out, and they've been there a while, but he said that, but Isaac said that Rebecca was his wife, was his sister. Well, he starts looking out and says, "I don't know anybody who treats his sister like that." Uh-huh. Now, I don't know what he was doing. My guess is she turned around and he smacked her on the bottom or something. I don't know. But he was sporting with her, flirting with her. Now, that's a good thing. But that kind of is a telltale sign that she's not his sister. Verse 9. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety, I know that she is thy wife. How sayest thou she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." By the way, you ought to die for her if you have to. That's what the Bible says. So, Isaac, he's got problems just like the rest of us. I'm sure glad that God puts these people in the Bible with all their warts and all. Even though if God can use them, he can use us. If he can bless them, he can bless us. He doesn't throw anybody away. I'm so glad. Because if he expects to be perfect, we're in big trouble. Verse 10. And Abimelech said, "What is that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us." And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Don't go near this guy." Why? Because he had heard about him. The early Abimelech knew this. Abraham and his descendants, they have some kind of thing here with God. God has it out special for them. And if you mess with them, God's going to mess with it with you. You better be careful with that. And that's a wonderful thing. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Oh, man, God's blessing. He's got everything he wants. Something's not, this isn't right. Something's not fair here. Verse 15. For all the wells, by the way, you're having a famine, that's a well of water is very important. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them. Filled them up with stuff and filled them with earth. Just being mean. Because they said, they shouldn't be able to get away with us. We got to do something to hold them back here. If God's not going to hold them back, we're holding them back. You know, you have those people. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names and after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar, the Philistines, did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him, unto Isaac, and said that same night, and said, "I am the God of Abraham, thy father, Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Got a few points here. That was a long scripture, but I wanted you to hear the story. So we'll just kind of refer to it as we go by. Let's pray. We'll talk about life moves on, and yet it's the same. Life moves on, and yet it's the same. Got some points I want you to hear here. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I pray you help me to be concise but clear, and pray that your Holy Spirit will move. I want to be encouragement. There's some things we need to learn here this evening. We need to have a perspective, a godly, biblical perspective on life. And Lord, help us to see some things here. So we put in your hands, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Sometimes we feel as if life is just one issue after another. One problem after another. One drama after another. You know what I'm talking about? You know what that is? Why that is? Job said it this way. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Why is that? We live in a sin-cursed world. Adam and Eve sinned and they were cast out of the garden. And he said, now by the sweat of your brow, you're going to bring this. Thistles and thorns and all the mess that we have to deal with. And the fact of sin is sin on the hearts of people. It's just, we live in an old sin-cursed world. Job said in chapter 5, verse 6, he says, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble. In other words, I don't know where this comes from all the time, but he says, the man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Just as sure as sparks fly up, we're going to have trouble. There's going to be a problem. Yet man, he goes on and says, yet man is born of trouble as the sparks fly up. I was seeking the God, unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up high those that be low, and those that which mourn may be exalted to safety. He says, there's always going to be a problem. But I have God. Not everybody has God walking with them. God is here, but they don't walk with him, so they're not walking where God's walking. He says, yes, there's affliction every place. It seems like it comes out of the dirt. It just kind of comes out of the woodwork, we would say. And yet there's a God. I want to seek unto God, and unto him I'm going to commit my cause. I'm going to put it in his hands. Ecclesiastes 2:22 says this, for what hath man of all his labor and all the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all the days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yet his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. We're just saying, life gets hard. I'm going to try to be depressing here. But the fact is, God is not falling off dead. Life is hard, but there's God. We could be his child. Yes, there's life is hard, but we have hope. Listen, so do you want to go through these things happen. So do you want to go through these things with the Lord and his promises, or do you want to go through them yourself without the Lord? Either way, things are going to happen. Now, we may be able to avoid a lot of things when we live in right. The Bible talks about the breastplate of righteousness in the armor of God in Ephesians. The breastplate of righteousness means you can save yourself a lot of damage if you would just live right, make the right choices, stay out of trouble. It's amazing how we can save ourselves from a lot of trouble. Well, that just happens. No, it didn't just happen. We made a bad decision back here. But there are some things that we can't stop. They come at us, and there's not a thing we can do about it. And listen, we can either go through it with the Lord, or we can go through it without the Lord. So much of this is going to happen. And what we're going to say, what we read here, didn't it sound like deja vu? I mean, watch. The writer did not forget where he was in the story and repeat himself and give it to Isaac instead of Abraham. No, God put this in here. He wanted it to sound similar. He wanted it to happen. He's trying to teach us a lesson. He's not repeating himself. He's giving a new account, but it's very similar. Watch. Life on this sin-cursed earth is what it is. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. We all go through things. It's normal. I bought one of those things, one of those wood things, they carve the things, and I put it in my office now. It says, it is what it is. But God is who He is. God is wanting to teach us the same principle that we all need to learn as individuals. In 1 Corinthians, it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such that is common to man. But it says this, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. When it says He will not tempt you beyond that which you're able, He answers what that means in the very next step, in the next statement. But with the temptation, make a way of escape. That's how we're able to deal with the temptation. That you're able to, a way to escape. And usually that way to escape is a matter of trusting Him and doing what He said. But that doesn't make any sense. Just trust Him and do what He says. Let me give you some points here real quick. I'm trying not to read all these scriptures you have on your paper here. But here we go. Number one, there's some principles here in life. Number one, history repeats itself. So when we read there in Genesis 26, we had a famine in land for Isaac. Well, you know what? We had a famine in land with Abraham. So they both got tested the same way. They both went to the king. And, of course, you know, they both did the same little thing. They tried to call their wives or sister and this and all thing, trying to save their neck, which was kind of stupid. But history repeats itself. How many folks have been in this general area? Your people have been in this generation for at least two generations. How about three generations? Some of you, yeah, okay. Where I grew up, you know, we go all the way back to the Indians that were there. Be honest with you. Our folks have been there a long time. And you know what? There's certain things that kind of cycle through the families. Have you ever noticed that? It's like a lot of times, amazing, a family is what it is. And they kind of go through these same cycles. They have to fight these same problems, these same temptations, and so forth and so on. And God's trying to get them out of that, but so we get lost in this cycle. History seems to repeat itself. Why? Because there's no temptation of taking that you would except that which is common to man. Well, what does that mean? We all have the same problems. And so God is going to have to do the same work in us that He's doing in somebody else. It's a shame. You would think that your kids wouldn't have to learn have to go through the same mistakes and heartaches that you did. But they're just as hard-headed as we were when we were that age. And it seemed like we had to go through the school of hard knocks and learn our lesson. Now, actually, Isaac did learn a little bit. He didn't go down to Egypt. So he learned a little bit, but there were some other things he messed up on. Just as you had to go through the heartaches, chances are the next generation is going to have to too. Now, it's possible to train them, and teach them, and wise them up so they don't have to. That's our goal, and we should do that as much as we can. But you know, I was telling somebody just the other day, I was always been a year or two ago, three maybe, I don't know. But I got four kids, they're all grown. And we were having a, I don't know, family party or something, and they all got to talking. And I all of a sudden started hearing there was things that were going on when they were kids that behind mom and dad's back we didn't know about. And they said, oh yeah, well, we didn't want to hear about that. You know, it makes you wonder. But you know what? I did some things my parents never knew about. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? History repeats itself. Letter B. Watch this. Don't expect to outlive or outmaneuver life's problems. Don't expect to outlive or outmaneuver life's problems. We think somehow we're going to get past all this and we're not going to have to, we won't have to go through this. No. Ecclesiastes 1:4 says this. Watch. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. So here's the earth. Got this generation and that generation and that generation and that generation. I remember, you know, when I was growing up, my grandfather, my father's father, and he was all kind of feeble and so forth. And then the fact is, then all of a sudden my dad was there. Now I look like my dad when my grandfather's around. I look like my dad. I walked into my high school reunion. We got another one this fall. When I walked to my high school reunion last five years ago, I walked in the room and it looked like I was looking at the parents of all the people that I went to school with. But it was my group. I don't know how they got so old. One generation comes, another comes. The earth just keeps on going. Verse 5, the sun says, the sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. And the wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. The whirlwind, the world whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run to the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. And is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There's no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. It's just like we go through these cycles and we just do it. Repeat history. And listen, and the fact is, we cannot outmaneuver bad things. They're going to come. Let her see. Everyone must learn the same lessons. Now, it'd be awful nice if we can learn from other people. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians, these the things were written for our ensample to teach us. So we don't have to be that like that. We're going to learn the same lesson. We're going to either learn it by coming to church and hearing the Word of God and taking a word to the wise, or we're going to learn it the hard way. It doesn't matter. We all go through problems. We all live in the same earth. And generation after generation after generation. You see these things, there was it on PBS, they do this thing about ancestry, and they start going back through these people, line, you know, their lineage, and they're finding out all kinds of things, you know. And by the way, they don't go back to monkeys hanging in the tree by their tails. But they do find a few hanging by their neck. They don't have anybody hanging from their tails. It's amazing what you have. Listen, the same old stuff. The same old drama, the same old sorrows, the same old sins, it's nothing new. But God is still faithful. See, that's what he's trying to teach us here tonight. Isaac is having to learn some lessons all by himself. Daddy's gone, and he's going through the same thing Daddy had to go through. But God said, what did he say? I'm with you, Isaac. You say, well, that was fine for those old people. No, we're talking about our generation, right where we are. The same God that was faithful to the generation before is faithful to us. We need to be faithful to him. Let us see. Everyone must learn the same lessons. 1 Corinthians 10 says these. Now, all these things happen to them for ensamples or examples. To strike a die is to make an indelible imprint on us. And they are written for our admonition, our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. In other words, stop trusting something other than God. And that idol may be you. Your own thinking, your own wisdom, the world's philosophy, something else. We got to stop trusting anything other than God. Letter D, the lesson. Here's the lesson. We're all going to learn the same lesson. Here's the lesson. Ready? Trust God and do right. What's the conclusion of it all? Fear God and keep his commandments. Realize who he is. Trust God and do right. Listen, do not trust your own understanding. Do not depart from God's word, either to the left or to the right. That's what he's telling us. And you know what? You say, well, why do we have to go through this and hear it over and over and over again? Because we're still not doing it on a regular basis. Oh, like Isaac, sometimes we do. Well, they didn't go down to Egypt, but he still was scared of the guy that was going to come and get his wife. But God's still faithful. History repeats itself. Number two, sinful family habits are difficult to break, but not impossible. Why? Because of the God factor. God is still a supernatural God. He said, well, you don't know the dysfunctional family that I have come from. God does. And you know what? You know how long it takes to really get this? Don't get mad at me. I know that there's emotions and there's hurt. But you know what you do with the hurt? Forgive it and go on. Because otherwise it keeps you down for the rest of your life. But they got away with it. Well, we're going to heaven instead of hell. God let me off. I think we can let somebody else off. So, well, you know what they did to me? Well, we nailed him to the cross. It was our sins. We need to just forgive, trust God, and do right. Well, that's just too easy. It's only hard because we won't do it. We won't let God do his work in our heart. We sit there and nurse a wound. I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm saying it is what it is. Get up. God is still in control. Live your life. Don't let your past or the past of your parents or your grandparents or the mess that they've come from dictate what happens in your life. Your life can change today. The direction can change today. Listen, we have a picture hanging up in a schoolroom. It says, we can't change the beginning of our story, but we can change the end. I can't change anything that's happened in my life up to this point, but I can change what's going to happen from here on out. So sinful family habits are difficult to break. Verse 6, we talk about the man in the place had his wife. So we know the story there. And he did the same thing his daddy did. He lied about his wife and called her his sister. And you know, it's amazing how these little white lies, we get in there. And you know what? There's little things. If you're not careful, the Bible says that they will bring a corruption into our relationship. You know what? Watch this. This is the truth. People don't understand it. They've lived like this all their life. And sometimes I think they look at the Bible and say, well, no one actually lives like that. Well, they should. Now, I'm not perfect. We mess up, but that's our goal. Now, you watch me. And I've seen this. I have seen this. Who was asking me about the little door back here? There you go. Okay. Back behind the back hallway here, when you open the doors to come into the baptismal room, there's these little doors. And they go underneath the platform here. And he was asked, what are they for? You know what went through my mind? I would say, that's where the church elves live. I mean, how do you think all this place stays clean? When we all leave tonight, the church elves will come out. And they'll go through here and clean everything up. And then they go back in. Now, behind the door, there's a little door in there that goes into another land, another world. You know, so that's where they live all the time. But they come back in here. Now, that sounds funny. But suppose I was really good at telling that story. Suppose my wife watched me convince somebody that she's not my wife, but my sister. And I'm very convincing. You know what the first thing I'm thinking of? Oh, I wonder if he's ever lied to me. That's what she's thinking. I wonder if he's ever lied to me. He's really good at that. I mean, I almost believe myself, but I know who I am. Right? But see, you have these little white lies, and we think there's no problem. But we don't know what we're causing. You know what? If I had told, I was thinking about telling that story, you know, but if I was really good and convincing about the church elves, he's going to start saying, what else he says from the pulpit that's not true? You see what I'm saying? And so we get in these family habits, and that's just how we do it. Well, we never say to anybody we love them. We actually say it the other way, but they know I mean it. All this crazy stuff. We got to change what we do. Letter B, wrong is still wrong. Wrong is still wrong. Wrong is wrong even if we are accustomed to it. Even if it's part of normal life, even though we've grown up with it, wrong is still wrong. Abraham, daddy, was a great man, and God blessed him, and he did this, so I guess I will too. We scheme and we connive instead of just doing right and trusting God. Abraham had to learn it, and Isaac's going to have to learn it, and Jacob and Esau's going to have to learn it, and the 12 sons of Jacob are going to have to learn it. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways check in with him, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You say, well, he doesn't direct my paths. Well, are you in all your ways acknowledging him? If you want him to tell you what to do, you've got to do what he tells you. Even if it sounds a little stupid, as long as it's not against the word of God, maybe that's what you should do. Wrong is still wrong. Listen, I've heard, you say, well, I've heard that verse over and over. Don't you have something new for me, preacher? Are you doing this yet in all the aspects of your life? Are you doing this? This is why God has put this in the Bible. Isaac is having to learn the same thing. All his ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct his paths. Letter C. Faith to obey God comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now hang tight with me. Faith to obey God comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Letter D. So what do we need to do? Surrender to the word of God. Romans 12:1. You know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Watch what it says. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, because he died for you. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me walk through that real quick to you. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y. That means separated unto God. If you're separated unto God, then you're going to do what God wants you to do, how he wants you to do it, when he wants you to do it. You know, I'm separated unto my wife. I don't go around kissing other women, because I'm separated unto her. There's some things I'm not going to do. Because I'm separated unto her, the Bible said, our vow said, I want you to live with her in a holy state of matrimony. We live in the same house. That's part of the relationship. Now, I know sometimes marriages have to be separated for a little bit, but it shouldn't be for long. Shouldn't be for long, because be honest with you, be careful. It's hard to contain yourself sometimes. We need to live together. I'm separated unto her. That means I'm separated from the rest of the world. So he says, separate yourself. And watch, it says, holy, and then he says, acceptable. In other words, fully agreeable and thus well-pleasing unto God. That's what I'm supposed to do, which is by reasonable service. And watch, The opposite is also true. Be not conformed to this world. Don't do what everybody else is doing around you. But be ye transformed, metamorphosed. When a butterfly comes out. Starts out a worm, goes in there, and it comes out a butterfly. That's called a metamorphosis. He says, I want you to become a new creation. He says, how do we do that? By the renewing of your mind. We got to renovate the mind. We've got to clean house, reorganize, get out the junk, put something else in there that's good. Renovate the house of your mind that ye may prove. That means to know what is to approve, what's approvable, what is right, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wrong is still wrong. Right is still right. We all have to learn those lessons. Number three, God's promises are still true. Well, if I do this, this is going to cause this. But is it wrong? I mean, does it go against God's word? Yeah, but I think we're going to have a problem if I don't. I am more afraid of God than I am afraid of trusting God. Now listen to me. I'm more afraid not to trust God than I'm afraid to trust God. I mean, God sometimes he has to do some things. It's a little scary. But the fact is, it's scarier to go this on my own without God. Now, I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know where I'm going to end up. But I'll make sure I'm going with him. Now, if I'm going with him, then I've got to go where he goes. I've got to walk where he walks. He walks in the light. He doesn't walk in the darkness. So if I'm going to walk with him, I've got to walk where the light is. I've got to do right. I've got to obey what he asks me to. It's scarier. What he's asking me to do. And no, by the way, I'm not talking about just some feeling. It's either very clear in the Bible, or you get used to it. God will guide you with his eye. But let that come a little bit later. You say, well, how do I know when he's telling me what to do? You'll know. Because he knows how to make you know. And if you don't know, then he didn't tell you yet. You see what I'm saying? Stay where you are. Well, I want him to tell me now. But I don't know what he's telling me. Well, then if he don't know, then he didn't tell you yet. Or maybe he gave you an inch, but he hasn't. It's not time to move. He's not telling you to go yet. He's not telling you to move yet. You find what I'm saying there? So we got to give ourselves wholly unto him. Here I am. Then he'll direct our paths. His promises are still true. Look at verse 12. Then Isaac, number 3, God's promises are still true. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. Now, having possessions doesn't mean God's blessed you. In this particular incident, because of what God has promised Abraham that was passed on to Isaac, God has proven that he's with Isaac just as he was with Abraham. He's going to continue the promise that hands down. We don't all have the promise of Abraham. I don't have the promise of Abraham handed down from my father. I have promises in the Bible, but that's not his particular promises. But the point is this, God is still true. God is still faithful. Number 4, now we're living life. And we're trying to do right. You ready for this? Listen to this, kids. Ready? There will always be, ready? Bullies. There will always be bullies. People who just don't like you because they don't like you. Listen, why do bullies bully the nerds? Because the nerds are getting A's. And so they feel like, well, I got to show them that I wear something that I got to show. I can beat them up. Because they're jealous. When I was a kid, I rode on the bus to school. Now, my stop was the last stop on this particular route before they went in out to school. Now, I was, believe it or not, I was pretty quiet. I pretty well, you know, stayed to myself, just kind of hang low and running under the radar. Because you got all kinds of stuff going on. I just kind of ran under the radar. Where they were there was these two brothers that lived on the route before I got on. And I don't know why. I didn't at the time I wasn't sure why. But they just razzed me and heckled me, and I mean just they were younger than I was and smaller than I was. And the fact is I could have knocked their heads together and been done with it. But I felt like, well, that's not right. And they would do all kinds of stupid stuff just to make my life miserable. And I thought, why is that? And so one day, I was in sixth grade, I think, fifth or sixth grade. We got off the bus at school, and I'm heading up to the school, and one of them came up behind me and jumped me. Now, he wasn't all that big, but I kind of took me off guard, and he ran and hit me in the back, and so we went down on the sidewalk. And so we rolled around a little bit, and literally, I took his arms to his side, and I was laying on my back, but I was holding him like this. I mean, that's how much difference it was in the size of us. And the little boy had a hearing aid. It was a great big old thing back then. And I remember the big plastic thing in there, it kind of was hanging down like this. And I remember one of my buddies, a guy in school I knew, Mike Smith. I said, Mike, would you get him off, please? I mean, I didn't want to hurt him. Honest, I didn't want to hurt him. And he said, so he picked him up, and he went on. He put the hearing aid back on his ear, and he went on in. Well, about a week and a half later, I get called into the principal's office. The worst thing was, we were all lined up to go to lunch. And they called me into the principal's office.
I'd never been called to the principal's office. Hang low. Under the radar.
And I walked, and this someone, and we were all, I mean, we were literally lined up to go to lunch, and this guy came to the door and said something to my teacher. My teacher says, Sterling, would you come over here? And he says, they're calling you to the principal's office. Oh, I must have turned three shades of green or whatever. The blood drained out of him. She says, it's all right. I'm sure you haven't done anything wrong. But I was scared to death. Well, I get into the principal's office. I get into the main office, and then they take me back to his office. And there was this guy, great big guy, from the Board of Education, and the principal, and this boy, and his brother, and their father. And he sat me down, and he says, did you have a fight with so-and-so, with this boy, the other day? And first he said it was Wednesday, but it wasn't. It was Wednesday. First he said it was Thursday, but it wasn't. It was Wednesday because I had an orthodontist appointment with my braces. So, but anyway, I didn't say. Well, all I thought was, yeah, we did. But I said I told him what happened, and he said, well, he said he took his hearing aid, ran to the back of the school, and threw it over the fence into the field. Why would you want his hearing aid?
I don't.
And if I did want it, why would I throw it in the field? But that's what they said. And it went on and on and on, and I didn't know what to do. And they called my mom, and they said, no, the father says, listen, we're not gonna press charge or anything like that. We just want the hearing aid. That we cannot afford. I found out that the boys lived in a very, very, very run-down house down the back on the early part of the bus route. When they drove past our house, my dad had done pretty well. And in that particular area, That the house was about 25 years old when it was built. It was the fanciest thing that hit that town in 1940 when it was built. It was built in 1940. Big stone Cape Cod, nice yard. You can see the crystal chandelier in the window. So that boy has money, so we don't like him. Now, be honest with you, I didn't want to hurt those kids. I wanted to smack them. My flesh did, but I didn't want to hurt them. Look what happens here, verse 14. I'm getting long here. The Philistines envied him because of the way the Lord had blessed. And sometimes that'll happen to you. For all the wells which his fathers had, we knew, it went around. So what did they do? You heard the story. They said, well, they got these wells. We'll just fill them in. We don't like these guys. And they filled another one. So Isaac said, well, we'll just dig another one. So they said, we'll dig another one. Well, that's mine. It's just like taking the lunch money. So what he said? All right. So they went and digged another well. They said, well, that was mine. You know what happened? You know, they're going to get tired. So he digged another well and he let him alone. He said, well, okay, I guess God had made room for it. You say, well, what a wimp. Watch me here now. These are bullies against those that do right. They always get an A. We got to do something. They always get an A. And you know what? You're doing right. Your first inclination is to fight back. And by the way, I'm not talking about just school. You're trying to get a promotion, and someone's slandering your name. Do you remember that God knows what's going on? Go back and think about Joseph, who got falsely accused. God knew exactly where he was. God knows what he's doing. This is nothing new. You do right, and the ones that do wrong will work harder at trying to stop you from doing right than if they just did right in the first place themselves. Letter B. God doesn't bless bullies. He may give them enough rope to hang themselves, but God's not going to bless bullies. This is called living by faith. This is doing right because it's right to do. Whether you're a sixth grader in school or whether you're out here at work trying to make a living, trying to buy a house, trying to buy a car, you do right. God sees what you do. You lie, God knows it. Listen, I want nothing between my Lord and my soul and the Savior. I want to be right where he wants me to be. I want to see his blessing. And I'll be honest with you. Listen, we're not rich, but God has taken good care of us. And the fact is, there's a lot of folks make a lot more money than I do. And I'm not complaining about that. God has taken good care of us. And I think because you do right, God will bless it. God doesn't bless the bullies. There are those that want the blessings of God without having to be attached to God, the blesser. Then they are jealous of those that have God's blessing as if God's playing favorites. And instead of seeking the blesser, God, they seek to destroy the blessed. Acts 10:34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. It doesn't matter who you are. You do what God wants you to do, he's going to bless. God has promised to bless those that bless Abraham and curse those that curse him. And so Isaac needed to live by it. 2 Timothy 3, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But that doesn't mean we lose the blessing. We're going to see some persecution, but you hang tight. Listen, I glory in my tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Listen, I've been through it. I've seen it. I mean, you come out the other side and see God take care of you. Letter C, God blesses the blessed without regard to the unblessed. God blesses the blessed. He's gonna, if you're his, he's gonna bless you. He's given you a promise, he's gonna keep his promise. First Peter 2, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That's what Isaac did. They were just doing right. They were being blessed, and they were suffering for it. God says that's acceptable. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Letter D. Don't fight the unblessed. The people who don't have God, they're not living for God, they don't have God, they don't have the blessings of God, don't fight them. You don't have to fight them. God is still a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all those things shall be added on. You don't have to fight them. Number five, almost done. The promises are still true. The promises are still true. So we have what happens is Abimelech went to him and he said, listen, you know what? In verse 26, that we didn't read this part. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar and Ahuzzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, and the chief captain of his army, and Isaac. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee. And let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as ye have not done nothing, and we have done thee nothing but good, which is a lie. But have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up betimes in the morning and sware unto one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they parted from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water, and he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto his day. Now, if we live righteously, God will make even our enemies to be at peace with us. Isaac didn't have to fight the battle. God fought the battle for him. God put the fear in Abimelech. Proverbs 16:1 says this, the preparations or the thoughts of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And when man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Same old junk, different chapter. But God is the constant. Now, there are going to be some famines in your life. Times when you think all is lost and there's no way out. God is still there saying, trust me, I will see you through. Don't go running to the world for help. The Lord has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. The Lord has promised to provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. We just need to seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. Lean not to our own understanding. All our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. Now listen, there will always be bullies in your life. Trust the Lord. Know he loves you with an everlasting love. Romans 12:17 says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lie within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Give it to him. Well, I'm innocent. Give it to him. Last passage, I'm all done. Psalm 37 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, because, you know, they like they're getting something. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of their heart. Commit thy way in the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and in the judgment as the noonday. You just keep doing right, and eventually everybody's going to know you were right. Don't let yourself get down in the mud. You just keep doing right. Trust the Lord. God knows. He raises up, he puts down. He knows what he's doing. Let's pray. Father, we're real late here this evening, but thank you for speaking to our hearts. May this drive come home to our hearts and help us to take some stands. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Stand to your feet. The altar is open. Piano's going to play, and we're going